As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, back on the Jeff Gawkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington thing. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what is this we're listening to?
It's Believe by Cher, of course, for the in honor of your column in part, for the urge to muster some belief.
I'll be honest, tonight. I was a little hokey even for me, and yeah. I can tend toward the hokey, but yeah, you do want to have some belief tonight, and it feels like, I was thinking about it, I hadn't ever stopped to count before. This is the eighth time they've come back 0-2.
I don't know. I've been counting other stuff. So I was trying to, and I think I mentioned on the show yesterday, I was trying to write something and I failed. I'm continuing to fail, but I'm actually going to try to turn something in maybe half an hour after we're done talking.
What's the topic?
And I've been thinking about, so my research has been slightly divergent from that, but not unrelated. What I've been thinking about is the Grizzlies Thunder rivalry over the years and sort of this renewal of the rivalry. So this is going to be the 22nd time those two teams have faced off in a playoff game will be tonight.
Wow.
And there's a lot of the Grizzlies franchise lore is tied into the rivalry with the Thunder. And so I'm going to get to some of that and some of the fan culture stuff and all of that.
Well, I was talking to Jeffrey earlier that if you were just to rank what your absolute favorite Grizzlies playoff series were, to me, Jeffrey went with Clippers – 2013, I guess it was, when you lose the first two and come back and win the next four, like that the Blake, like all that, right?
Right.
And then I think maybe San Antonio, the first win.
Well, they have won, if I'm doing this off my memory, I think the Grizzlies historically have won five playoff series. That's 2011 against the Spurs was the first playoff series they won. And then 2013, they won't beat the Clippers in the first round, the Thunder in the second round. In 2015, they beat the Blazers in the first round. And then this iteration, they beat the Wolves. So those are the five series they've won. Wow. Now, they've had some memorable series that they lost, too. But I think you probably started with the wins. And I think the two that loom largest are 2011 Spurs and 2013 Clippers.
Right. But to your point about Oklahoma City, I would say that when I think of Grizzlies playoff series, the next two I think about are the one they won. In five? Was it in five when they went to the finals, or was that in six?
That was five.
That was in five.
They won four in a row. They lost game one, won four in a row. That's the one where Westbrook got injured in the first round.
But all the games went into, like, a bunch went to OT.
No, you're conflating two different series.
That was the 2013. Go ahead. Sorry, 11. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
They played the Thunder in 2011. Second round series, they lost in seven games.
Uh-huh.
They played the Thunder in 2013. second round series, 1-5. Uh-huh. That's the win that got them to the conference finals. They played the Thunder in 2014, seven game series, games, I think it's 2-5, four consecutive overtime games. The Grizzlies won 3 of the 4. They came home game 6 with a chance to win the series in game 6. They lost game 6. They go to game 7 at OKC. Zebo suspended for that game, which honestly probably would not have mattered at that point. But he didn't play that game, so you can believe they would have won anyway. And they lose in game 7 at OKC. That was the year of Kevin Durant's MVP.
So all three, and particularly the two that
So this is the fourth series between the teams.
The two that they lost were both magnificent series.
Yeah. Both seven-game series, both games where, like, the Grizzlies, you know, you go back and look, and when you lose seven-game series, you could have won the series, right? And then the one in 2011, they lost in seven games. They lost at home in triple overtime in that one. And that's the way I always go back to 2011. I think everyone points to 2015, but I think 2011 was actually their best chance to sneak through.
Who won that year? Dallas. Dallas won that year. Yeah.
Which was, I mean, Dirk was on one that season, but that was not a super team. That was a super guy with a team around him.
So the Benno was a big part of the seven game series where Zebo was suspended in seven.
That sounds like he was on that team. Yeah. I think that's right.
Someone was hurt in game one or didn't play in game one. I don't know. They do blend together.
Yeah.
There is certainly a glory and a richness to it all. So we will see.
Well, even beyond the playoffs, a lot of that, and I reference some of this in what I write, but I go beyond it. I mean, a lot of the like nuggets of Grizzlies lore are OKC. The Art Grind speech is OKC. The first Tony Allen game that I wrote about earlier this year was against OKC. Bust His Butt Mark was OKC.
Right.
We Don't Bluff, OKC. Champagne Tasting a Beer Budget, OKC.
So when was the We Don't Bluff?
I don't remember what season that was, but that was a regular season game that was in the middle of all that. It was a game at Oklahoma City where Marc Gasol put Kendrick Perkins in the blender, and Zach Randolph yells, "Bust His Butt, Mark." Right. And then he and Kendrick Perkins get into it. They both get tossed. They both try to go fight each other in the locker room. And then Zebo, when he's asked about it afterward, does the whole speech. Like, we, you know, I'm a jacking dude. I'm good with these hands. We don't bluff. All of that was in response to that.
And then the Champagne Taste Beer Budget?
That just happened to be in OKC. It was the first game that after the trade of Rudy Gay happened to be a game at Oklahoma City. And Lionel Hollins doing his pregame media, that's where when he said that phrase.
Well, you can read that piece at the Daily Memphian, and I look forward to reading it. That'll be great. Tonight, it's funny, though. So of all the other times they've come back, 0-2, which is what we're going to say.
Well, this is key to, and this is sort of what a little bit of worried about, but key to what your transition here. This is the fourth playoff series between the Grizzlies and the Thunder. The Grizzlies have been the lower seed in every one of these series.
Right. But this one, and maybe it's not true. Maybe this is a prisoner of the moment. This feels more futile or worse than any other 0-2 return. The other ones were futile. The first three were futile, certainly. You didn't expect to win any of those. But there were expectations
then that the Thunder series, yes. Whether it's the most futile of all playoff series, I don't think that's true.
True. But. No. Well, I mean, the Jaeger injury.
Right.
It feels worse, though, because the expectations for this team were higher.
Yeah. I think that's right. Although once you get to the playoff series, I don't know if that's true anymore.
Right. No, you're right. The expectations were higher in the year.
Right.
I think is why that it has this sort of duller feeling more dismal feeling coming into it. But yeah, so they were the lower seed in each one of those series.
Lower seed in every one. And this is, if you want to really fuel your resentment against the Thunder, and there's plenty of ways to do so, Grizzlies, Memphis is good at being the underdog and good at feeling resentment.
Right.
If SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, wins the MVP this season, as I suspect he will.
Yeah.
This is the 24th season of the Grizzlies of Memphis. It's the 17th season of the Thunder in Oklahoma City. Every season they have ever played, they have had on their roster an MVP player, you know, present or future, right? Kevin Durant, right. Russell Westbrook, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They have never had a season. There's not that many guys in history of the league who have won the MVP. They have never had a team that didn't have one of those players on it. Okay. And even the temporary team they had before they got the Thunder when the then Hornets, New Orleans was there, that was Chris Paul, who's a Hall of Fame all-time guy.
Okay, but the resentment's somewhat different because when it was Kevin Durant, it was franchise gets this franchise, they're born on third base, right? It was you were gifted that.
Yeah.
SGA was brilliant basketball. They traded for
him after a rookie. He was the 10th pick in the draft and had a good, not great rookie season. They traded for him, and then he became this. Yeah.
Why, by the way?
The fans had nothing to do with that, though.
What's funny is, the fans had nothing. The fans did not have anything to do with
it. It's a gift for them,
but
either way.
As a, that's true. That it's all a gift for them. It is funny, though. Like, last night I was just with a group, and I was talking about the difficulties of winning in Memphis, right? There is a challenge, bigger challenge to win in Memphis than it is to win in L.A. And someone immediately said, yeah, well, how come Oklahoma City's doing it? And obviously, the problem is literally there is no team that has been better at managing its basketball roster in the league, probably, given everything, you can't just compare yourself to the best ever and say you should be, or the best currently, and saying you should be better than the best, right?
Yeah. No, there are 30 teams in the league, and there are some that you look at and you think their management, the way they've conducted their business has been better than you.
Right.
And there are some you can look at on the other end, and, you know, it's sort of, the Grizzlies are somewhere in the middle, maybe upper middle, lower middle, you know, depending on your perspective, but certainly in the vast middle, not the tippy top and the tippy bottom.
And was the key to this, again, I don't expect you to know this off the top of your head, the key to the thing was the Paul George trade that they were forced into.
That's a good point, because they went out to get Paul George, and then Paul George wanted out, and then they made a great trade to do that. Yeah, and they've done a great job. Even within the great job, like, they miss on stuff too, right? I mean, they traded some, like, multiple picks to get you to, so they could draft you, Usman Jin.
Right,
like, what's he ever done, right?
Right?
Like, they went out to get Alexei Pokushevsky. What's he done? Like, they miss on stuff too. But the hits, and this is true of the Grizzlies too, the hits are worth more than
the misses.
A good hit is worth three misses, right? And their ratio of hits to misses is super, super, super strong, which doesn't mean they don't have misses. But you hit enough,
and then their hits have also been the quality of the hit also. Like, you got an MVP hit in SGA, and then,
like, Jalen Williams middle first round. That's right.
It wasn't a hit to pick Chet Holmgren. Anyone would have, right?
I mean, that's like the Grizzlies. Right, I mean, you could have missed, but that's kind of like the Grizzlies getting John Morant and getting Jared Jackson.
How do the Grizzlies win tonight? What would it look like if they win? And is the third, what we saw in the third quarter, I mean, holding Oklahoma City to 20 doesn't seem sustainable, but, like, was there anything there that you can grab onto?
If they win, it's because probably, honestly, three-point shooting tilts in their direction both ways. Like, Oklahoma City has a subpar shooting night. The Grizzlies have a good shooting night, and that gets it close. You don't turn the ball over as much. I mean, the stuff that they were just trying to play quicker and get into quick shots and less passing and less opportunity for turnover, there was some of that. Maybe they'll look more like that. I'm more interested tonight, you know, win or lose, I'm sort of looking at players individually, because you're trying to learn about this team going into the summer at this point, more than thinking about winning the series. If they win both of these at home, suddenly you can change that conversation.
Right.
But until that happens, that's not really where my head is. So, like, I'm interested mainly in the big three, Jaren, Ja, Dez, but in that order in terms of interest. And I'm interested in Edie a little bit, because I think this is a bad series matchup-wise for John Morant and Zach Edie. The Grizzlies sort of reoriented their structure around John Morant and Zach Edie. Now they have the playoff team that's the worst possible situation for both of those guys,
right?
And which has been a little bit of a problem. But, like, you know, Edie's a rookie thrown into a terrible matchup that he was not particularly effective on either end in Oklahoma City. Does that change a little bit back home? Does he sort of catch his breath and get more comfortable? And then I think Jaren, because you're headed towards, you know, this contract decision this summer, and his playoff history is shaky, and now you have had two games, and it's been shaky. Like, it's been a really bad game and a pretty good game, and I'd like to see some more consistency from him, even if you only got two games left. Like, let's look like a guy who can do it in the playoffs, you know?
But do you believe anything hinges on it? Like, in other words, let's say he has...
Hinges too strong, but it's relevant information.
Right. I mean, in the end, I suspect they're going to do with him what they do with him, no matter, unless he blows out his knee or something, whatever happens here.
Right. If Jaren scores a total of 8 points in the next two games, versus if Jaren scores a total of 58 points in the next two games, that would change my attitude a little bit about him going into the summer, because these are playoff games against an elite defense. And how you look in those games, I think, has... It's just one game, but that one game means more than, like, one regular season game.
But it might change your attitude. Will it change their offer?
I don't know. I don't know.
There's no way to know. I can't get in their head.
Yeah. You know?
And I guess just generally, like, Desmond Bane hasn't been good in this series either. He's not good against Oklahoma City. It's a hard...
I'm less interested in... I think he is not, with all due respect to Desmond Bane, I think he is not quite the same magnitude of talent, frankly, as John Morant and Jared Jackson. Desmond Bane should be the third guy on this team. And when he is not the third guy on this team, that's like commentary on the one and two guys. He's a good number three, but I just think that's what he is. And the reasons this is a particularly bad matchup for John Morant is also the reasons why it's a pretty bad matchup for Desmond Bane. It's a bad matchup for everybody, but it's less bad for Jaren, and that's why I think I want to see Jaren be productive in this matchup.
How much do you think Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells, obviously they would have helped. Like, well, what? How much is this influenced by their absence?
Oh, I think they would have helped a lot. I don't think they would have helped to the point of, like, flipping the dial from the loss to the win, which is what ultimately matters. But I think there's such an – I think there's been an athleticism problem on this team from day one, and I've talked about that from even when they were
having – Last year you were talking about this.
I think it's a roster issue. I think it's been a roster issue. And, like, Jalen Wells is not a great athlete, frankly. But he is, like, 6'7". He's got size. Right. And Clark is even, you know, coming off the injury, is among the better athletes on the team. I just think they're throwing guys out there who athletically just can't keep up with the Thunder. And I think Wells and Clark would keep up a little bit better than some of the guys who are playing. So I think those guys would actually help them quite a bit. But I don't think it would, like, you know, turn the series or anything.
And then you got two wings who aren't seeing action, Vince and Gigi.
Who are better athletes. I just, and neither have been good this year. I just think Gigi's so young and so bad defensively that I don't really, to me, that's a break in case of emergency. And, like, the situation is such that there's no emergency great enough that it matters that much, because you can't really, you know, this is not, anyway. Vince, I think, should be playing. And I'm one of the last guys on the island fighting the war in the Pacific on this one. But I just think he is not – they've been too impatient with him. He has struggled in these games, but it's like they should have thrown him out there and, like, you're getting 20 minutes a night for 2 weeks, and we'll see what it looks like after 2 weeks. Instead, it's been too skittish, because I think the alternatives are such that you would have been better off giving him a very long leash. And I think his length and athleticism would play in this series a little bit better than – I mean, John Conchar, I mean, Luke Kennard can't even get a shot off, you know? I mean, I just think you're at such a dearth of athleticism on the perimeter that I would have more patience with that guy. But I think that ship sailed for right now.
Last year at this time, heading into this coming year, we would have thought, oh, Vince and Gigi will be factors on this team. And you would have, or you put them in different categories. But I was
more convinced than Vince before the injuries than I was Gigi this season.
Yeah. Do you think for next season, and who knows, there'll be lots of moving pieces, but right now, as you look towards next season, do you think the organization, again, you're guessing, assumes that
I think they
will be relevant pieces on next year's team, or assumes they won't be? Or
it depends depends on your definition of the word relevant. I don't think you can assume. I don't think your planning can be for either of those guys to be in an 8-man rotation for next season. You can't plan for that. You can plan for them to be on your roster and to make improvements and to get a shot, and you hope maybe they break through into those kind of roles. But I don't think you can't plan. You need to plan for your team to have an 8-man rotation that goes into the season that does not include those players. Like, they're 10th, 11th, 12th, or whatever, and we'll see where it goes. But you can't like, pencil them into those spots. You get a plan on filling those spots without including those guys.
Well, I mean, right now, again, we see what, again, this is what we'll get.
Maybe 9-man rotation.
Right near you, right now you got the if you had, say, the five starters, including Wells and Edie, and then you'd have, I mean, again, things will change. Will they bring back Santi, Clark, and Pippen? There's 8-man right there. That's your 8. If they bring those back.
Could be. There's lots of moving pieces. And a lot of this is going to start with what happens with Jaren. Because the mechanisms you have to do other things are not locked into place. Those are everything's contingent. That's the problem with talking about this stuff. Because there's like 88 different things, and they're all contingent on each other.
It's funny,
But it's my belief that they should try to find avenues to add one or two rotation players to this team that are not currently on the team.
Right. We'll get into that, presumably, next week. And there will be time. So you said that what happens in the next two games might influence, or will influence, could influence how you think about Jaren. Would it influence
I think playoff performance always influences how you think about players.
How about Isola?
It's hard it should, but it's hard to read from the out. I think what matters more is internal, not external. It is A, the feedback they get from, right, assuming they want to bring back John Morant, Jaren Jackson, Desmond Bane, and I see no indication that they don't. The feedback they get from those players in particular, but also like what they see from him, not as much in the games, but like on the practice floor, right, in the locker room, in sort of, I think the read they get from how he's handling the team in those areas probably means as much as what they're seeing in games against OKC, where you're just, you just have a bad, you've drawn a bad hand and you're trying to play it in that situation, you know?
It's funny on TV the other day at halftime, Kenny Smith said, "This is what happened. You know, this is what happens when you change a coach this late in the year."
Do you, with all due respect to the, right, very few people who cover the NBA nationally are attuned to all 30 teams closely.
Right.
There are a few people who are like pretty good at this. Like Sam Vecenie, if you listen to this podcast, he just doesn't sleep, I guess. He seems really right, keyed right, into a lot of stuff. Most guys, even like the smartest and the best, they're not paying attention every day to every team when they can, and so you end up just saying stuff that sort of sounds right, but when, right, you start poking at it, it's not really, you know.
You don't have any. You don't have belief that this would look any different if Taylor Jenkins were, and not, it would look different. Might look different in the way, but in the results, wouldn't look different if Taylor Jenkins were.
I'm not convinced the fundamental outcomes would have been much different in either direction, frankly,
right,
on the coaching situation.
Yeah. And finally, we did have Hollinger wrote about the Hawks today, and in the course of writing about the Hawks today, and whether they should trade Trae Young. This is the kind of thing we're going to have this offseason. It talks about how Trae Young may not have much trade value.
Right.
The more tantalizing possibility might be a player-for-player change of scenery move. Young for, say, LaMelo Ball or Ja Morant, two other young, talented lead guards on big contracts whose trade interest might not match their brand names.
There was a podcast, Zach Lowe and Howard Beck, they were talking about the Grizzlies, they were talking about, you know, trading Ja Morant. And Zach Lowe said on the podcast, like, you know, what, do you try to trade him for Trae Young or LaMelo Ball? I don't think those teams would do that, which may be true, but I wouldn't do that if I'm the Grizzlies.
Right.
And my thing is, again, I mean, you should throw it out a Ja Morant trade discussion bomb here at the end of the segment. I mean, this is, I think about this stuff all the time. I don't have any indication they're looking to trade Ja Morant, but I think about this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I was brainstorming Ja Morant trade stuff in December. I thought all this stuff.
You should have told me. We'll do it every
day, Chris. I thought all this stuff through.
Right.
And I don't even, those are trades I wouldn't make. And maybe, right, the other teams wouldn't make them either, but I don't believe in those players. And for all the issues that Morant poses, like, they're different things. LaMelo Ball, like, Ja Morant has been the best player on a team that's won 50-plus games, that's won a playoff series. He's had huge games in the playoffs. LaMelo Ball has never done any of that, ever, and I don't believe in it. Trae Young has done all that stuff.
Right.
But I'm not convinced that the ceiling of a Trae Young-oriented team is any higher than the ceiling of a Ja Morant-oriented team. And so if there's no difference, like, I'd rather have the guy want to watch play basketball. So I just don't – those are not – if, right, you told me you have to trade Ja Morant, those are not the type of trades I would be looking at.
Yeah. We'll get more into that, too. In terms of the other series – a couple of them are, as you would expect, duds, sort of whatever, like what you would imagine, not unlike this one, Cleveland and Boston, certainly. But we've got some real intrigue, certainly Knicks-Pistons. I don't know whether you've been able to catch any of that. And then last night, Rockets beat the Warriors, and Jimmy Butler goes out.
Yeah, no, that's a huge – the Jimmy Butler thing is a real tipping point for Golden State. Like, they go from, like, a team that – I don't know if you could beat the Thunder, but a team that's a real chance to go deep in the playoffs to a team that's, like – you know, just a 500 level kind of team, because without him, it's just Steph Curry. And when you add him to Steph Curry, it's a real offensive tipping point for them. And so I think if Jimmy Butler doesn't get hurt, I mean, I picked the Warriors to win that series before it started, and I'd feel great about the Warriors winning that series. But if he's not playing, that radically changes the whole thing.
How do you feel about the Lakers and the T-Wolves these days?
I picked the Timberwolves to win that series. I mean, they got the split in L.A. You're going back to Minnesota. I still feel pretty good about the Timberwolves. But it's a hard thing to feel great about just because, like, you know, when you think about who the best half-court dominated possession operators are, the Lakers probably got the two best in the series. But I just don't like the – I don't think their team's that good.
And then I haven't talked about the Nico Harrison stuff. It's just gobsmacking.
Yeah, I don't
know. Do you have a theory? I mean, there was a long piece that Tim McMahon did. I don't know if you read that in ESPN about the grand
schism between them. I actually talked to Tim in OKC, but I still haven't read the story. I need to.
The level of betrayal of your own fan base is just staggering. I don't know.
That's a team that I think needs to blow it up. If Kyrie Irving did not get hurt, I would not necessarily feel that way. But I just think that the only way out for that team is just to blow it up and start over and mea culpa and go forward.
All right. Chris will have a piece up in a little bit on the Grizzlies and Oklahoma City and the playoffs past. And so you can look for that at the Daily Memphian. We got Right in the Right trivia coming up. We're giving away two tickets to tonight's Grizzlies game. We will give them to caller number two. Grizzlies are down 0-2. 445-0929, 445-0929. We'll do that next. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Joined now by Kevin Cerrito. He's the Maestro of Fun and Games here in Memphis, Tennessee. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Of course, we're about to play some trivia here. We always talk about trivia on Thursdays, but I do want to remind people that we also play Music Bingo during the week. It's another free game where if you feel like trivia is too challenging for you, which is not nearly as challenging as it sounds here on the radio when Jeffrey's competing against you. But Music Bingo, it's always free to play. And unlike trivia, we let you use your phone to Shazam and Google the songs. It's a real fun vibe, and we're playing that five nights a week now. Mondays are at Cafe Eclectic. We're at a bunch of places on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights, including Dan McGinnis in South Haven on Wednesday. Tonight, we'll be at Slider Inn in Midtown. We'll be downtown at Laughlin. We'll be in Cordova at Waldo's. You can check out the entire Music Bingo lineup, CerritoEntertainment.com. But if you've never played Music Bingo before, I promise you'll be hooked once you do. So come out and join us and bring some friends and have some fun.
Sadly, Kevin, Jeffrey won't be here next week. So you have next week off.
Neither will Kevin.
And Kevin won't be either.
Correct.
Well, the whole damn thing is falling around the sky is falling. So Kevin's going to be gone. Jeffrey's going to be gone. I'm going to hereby declare it will be a trivia-free Thursday. Maybe we'll get another fish on Friday on Tuesday.
On Thursday,
just to help fill the gap. Anyway, do we have a competitor, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we welcome Don to the program. He's driving through Arkansas.
Hello, Don.
What's up, gentlemen?
How is the drive through Arkansas these days? It used to be, I used to do it a lot because I'd go to games and stuff, and there was always construction. How about now?
West Memphis is always under construction.
Well, all right.
That is true.
That's good. That's
pretty sure that's law.
Building towards a brighter future. Turning things over to Kevin Cerrito. Best of luck.
No trivia next week. The question is, will there be a Grizzlies game? Because I've got the schedule saved on my phone, and it says Thursday, May 1, Game 6, time to be determined. So we'll see about that. All right, this is Right of the Right trivia. I'm going to give you a choice of two categories. Whatever you don't choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. He could steal from you one time if you miss a question and vice versa as we go through the game. Of course, you're just trying to get Righter Than Right. You get tickets to the Grizz tonight. It is Game 3. I talked about it on the radio yesterday. We're guaranteed at least, right, Calkins, at least five good minutes, right, quote PTI here. We're going to have 5 good minutes of playoff basketball tonight.
We're going to have a full 48 minutes of magnificent playoff basketball. Maybe OT.
Maybe actually. 53.
Yeah. So
I'm that would be fantastic. That's what we want.
To a massive night tonight. All right, and onward you go.
All right, Don, I'm going to give you your choice. This was a big choice that we were pondering all last week. I mean, you make that decision today. Do you want to go with the Thunder or the Pick? Thunder or the Pick? Those are your categories to choose from to start. Thunder or the Pick?
The Thunder.
Thunder, all right. Thunder Bay Island is home to a famous lighthouse in what U.S. state? Thunder Bay Island.
God, I know of Thunder Bay, Canada.
I know a Thunder Bay, Canada.
I'm going to have to go Minnesota.
That is not correct. Jeffrey, do you want to steal? Have you been to Thunder Bay Island?
No, my guess was Massachusetts.
No, the big question is, Calkins, have you been to Thunder Bay Island?
Never been
it's
to
in Michigan.
Michigan. Really? So Minnesota, what a bad guess.
Never been to Thunder Bay. Thunder Bay, though, as Don points out, is a lot of hockey players come from Thunder Bay, it feels like. Anyway, all right, scoreless, over to Jeffrey, yeah.
Pick.
The Pick, Jeffrey. In season 4, episode of Seinfeld, it was called The Pick. While Jerry's trying to convince his girlfriend he was simply scratching his nose, Kramer
clearly on the spending time.
Kramer is spending time as a model for what brand?
Oh, God.
The Pick.
Oh,
man. Season 4 of Seinfeld.
You
know what Jerry's up to. What is Kramer doing? He's a model for what brand?
God. I remember something about, I'm going to say members only, but I think it's wrong.
That is not correct. Do you want to steal, Don?
Don, you got this one?
Not a clue. Was never a big Seinfeld fan.
All right. What's the answer?
He was an underwear model for Calvin Klein. Calvin Klein.
All right. Still scoreless. Kramer, back to Don.
In his underwear. Lyrics or quotes?
Quotes.
Quotes. Who was the first character in the original Star Wars to say the famous quote, "I have a bad feeling about this"?
Han Solo.
That is not correct. Jeffrey, do you know? Do you want to steal?
Yeah, I'm going to steal. I think it's Obi-Wan.
Thinks it's Obi-Wan.
I think it's Luke.
Calkins is right. Calkins is right. Jeffrey misses his steal.
I only say the answer when I know it. That's what happens here. That's my rule. Jeffrey knows this. I'm only trying to set myself up for success and to look good. It's my in life. Anyway, so it's still scoreless.
Yeah, so Luke Skywalker.
Great stuff for me. I'm winning. That's what's happening today. Over to Jeffrey.
May the 4th is coming up. We will have a special Star Wars themed round next week in anticipation for May the 4th, which falls on a weekend. So next Wednesday night, if you're a Star Wars fan, we have a round Star Wars questions coming up next week. The question is, who will say, "I have a bad feeling about this" first tonight at the Grizzlies game? Who will be the first one to say that at the Grizzlies game tonight? Hopefully nobody. I'm trying to stay positive. I am. All right, lyrics for you, Jeffrey. A singer in a smoky room, a smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile, they can share the night. That's lyrics from what 80s song that was inspired by advice given to the band's keyboardist by his father?
That would be Journey's "Don't Stop Believing."
Yes, it is. Yes, Don't Stop Believing. There
Don, you could have picked, you know, you got to pick the category, Don. You got to pick the category.
It's your fault.
One to nothing, Jeffrey.
Yes, and I told you I'm trying to stay positive. Don't stop believing. All right, food or fun and games? Food or fun and games?
Food.
Food. Provided you can find them and afford them, what is the most produced size of chicken egg? I'm going to give you four choices here. Do we have A, medium, B, large, C, extra large, or D, jumbo? What is the most produced size of chicken egg?
The most produced size. I would have to say large.
You have to say the correct answer. B, large. That is correct.
Ties it up.
Yeah.
No longer a goose egg. No longer a goose egg. Now it's a chicken
egg. Yes. Okay. All right, Jeffrey, funny games. What is the only chess piece whose movements the queen cannot mimic? We have A, pawn, B, bishop, C, knight, or D, rook. The only chess piece the movements the queen cannot mimic. We have A, pawn, B, bishop, C, knight, or D, rook.
It's diagonal forward. So it's got to be a knight.
The knight is correct. C, knight. Another point for Jeffrey.
Is that true? Wait, the knight is the one that can go forward and left? Is that
one? It's like moving in an L shape.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Okay, go ahead, yeah. All right. Jeffrey still leads 2-1.
Science or Spanish?
Science.
Clear is shouted to make sure nobody is touching the body of someone experiencing cardiac arrest while using an AED. What does the D stand for in AED?
Defibrillator.
That is correct.
Nailed it. He knew that, too. There was no hesitation. Tied up at 2.
Jeffrey, you get Spanish. Tell me, Jeffrey, the Spanish word for king.
All right, let's think. So Latin would be Rex.
Very good.
Ray.
Ray is correct. Jerry the Ray Lawler is correct. Wow. And we're down to the final round.
All right, so it is 3-2. Don, you have 2 points. How many do you want to wager?
All of it.
All of it. Jeffrey? Jeffrey's going 2 as well. Here we go.
All right, the final category is gone fishing. We're gone fishing here. Maybe a little early.
Oh, boy.
We're
going Here's the thing, by the way. If Jeffrey loses, he'll have to live with that knowledge for two weeks.
It's going to ruin a vacation.
It's going to ruin a vacation, yeah.
All right, we got it. A or B, Don? A or B, Don?
B.
B. Going with B. Most imitation crab and lobster are made from which Alaskan fish of the cod family that shares its name with a famous drip painter?
Drip painter?
Yeah, drip painter.
Could you repeat it, please?
Sure. Most imitation crab and lobster are made from which Alaskan fish of the cod family that shares its name with a famous drip painter? Sounds like Calkins might know this one.
I think I do know this one. Jeffrey, have you seen
it? I have, so this I do think I know it, too, though.
I'm not exactly sure. The word is rattling around in my brain, though. Swimming around in my brain, I guess, is a better way to put it.
Right.
God family. I have no idea.
I was afraid that. I think it's Pollock.
Yeah, Jackson.
Pollock. Yeah. Jackson Pollock.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is correct.
We got to play to the echo
of
the whistle.
He could still technically tie.
He could still technically tie.
Yes.
Okay, good. That's good point. But you're the champion.
Oh, wow.
Even if he ties. Go ahead.
And I have the steal.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why you can steal. Tie. Yeah.
If Jeffrey misses, he can steal. What term refers to a diet that includes fish but no other meats?
Pescatarian.
There you go.
Nailed it.
Jeffrey wins.
And he heads off on vacation. Don, you played honorably, don't you think, Jeffrey?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Good luck with the drive through Arkansas, Don. Thanks for playing. Kevin, how do people figure out where you're going to be?
Go to SerenaEntertainment.com. We are playing trivia tonight. Of course, we play Tuesday through Thursday. You'll hear one or more of these questions tonight and next week. And even though we don't have trivia on the radio next week, we'll stretch these questions out for another week. So to give you your advantage you get for being a loyal listener here to 92.9 ESPN.
We got to take a break. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. We've got a NFL draft to look forward to tonight. We got Grizzlies to look forward to tonight. The Shedeur Sanders, Jeffrey, once upon a time, just not long ago, the over-under for where Shedeur Sanders would go was 8.5, was pick 8.5.
Yeah.
Right? Now on ESPN Bet, it's 21.5.
Because I believe that's where Pittsburgh comes in, correct?
Yeah. Name one player picked tonight who is going to be an All-Pro.
Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter will be an All-Pro. As?
I think he's going to play receiver primarily. I think, because I've noticed.
Can you be a part-time corner, though? How does that work? Like, you can imagine a corner and then a receiver package, you know, of plays. Does it work as well the other way?
Yeah, because everybody, like, nickel package, like, when, you know, and I would imagine, like, big series.
Big moments of the game, et cetera. Field Yates has a new mock draft up. Cam Ward won, as predicted, and then Travis Hunter to Cleveland, then Abdul Carter to the Giants, Will Campbell in his little binky, tiny little arms to the Patriots. And then Ashton Gentry to the Jags.
That's where all the momentum is. That
you wonder where that comes from. Like, why? How do people know?
I think
teams. Plus, there's no problem in, if you're the Jags, no one's going to jump ahead of you and get Ashton Jeanty. So it's
unless
not
the
even,
Pats can trade down.
I guess if someone desperately wanted Ashton. But it's to take him early, a running back early, is itself not a reach, but it's a little, you know,
sure.
you're doing something that is not conventional anymore.
You
to
need
pay
to be,
extra to move up to take Ashton Jeanty?
Like if you're going to take a running back, you need to be good already, in my opinion.
Well, they're not good already.
I know.
But they want their quarterback to be good already.
Correct.
And so, and they have a new offensive coach. So, anyway, we have a lot.
They like to run. Cohen likes to run the ball.
We will have a lot to talk about tomorrow between all
hopefully
of
good.
This. And hopefully good. What's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Drew Hill joins their program today. Eric Hasseltine and Jason Smith will be with Cobb and I today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for an hour. Work is done.